telling his tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I came.
Welcome, everyone. Happy hump day. Hope you're staying warm out there. It remains sub-zero in most places in Wisconsin. Hi, everyone. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's not only Hump Day Wednesday, it is Wisconsin Wednesday here on The Maggie Dawn Show. We got a stacked show for you today, all focused on Wisconsin. I'm really excited for it. And you're going to want to hang on for all 2 hours of this program, ladies and gentlemen, because to close out the show, we're going to be joined by Representative Congressman Mark Pocan. He'll be discussing the Elon Act, because I don't think anybody voted for a billionaire overlord. Maybe just me, but yeah, didn't actually think Elon Musk's name was on the ballot this past November. At the top of the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to have State Senator Sarah Kieski, Senate District 14, joining us. She's one of those new Democratic senators that have joined our state legislature. Can't wait to get Sarah on, get to know her a little better and what her legislative priorities are, especially given the governor's budget address last night, which we're going to get to in just a moment. At the bottom of this hour, I'm going to be talking about one of my most favorite Wisconsin traditions. You know it, folks. If it's gosh darn cold outside in the dead of February, it must be the Birkebeiner, which is always loads of fun. We're going to be joined by Greg Gunderson from our affiliate WCQM in Park Falls to talk all about the Berkey, as we all affectionately call it. Can't wait to have that discussion. But first, politics. I'm so happy to be joined for a special Wisconsin Wednesday edition of the State Slate with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's very own political editor, creator of the Recombobulation Area. Dan, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Maggie. Always wonderful to join you on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Is that a disco ball in your background, Dan? I have to ask.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
We've got a built-in at our house here in on the west side of Milwaukee, and we've got a bunch of plants and then a disco ball over it.
A disco ball, because it's always a party at the Recombobulation Area. Folks, if you want to see Dan and I, and specifically Dan's disco ball, remember, you can always watch The Maggie Dawn Show and all of our fine programming at Civic Media's YouTube site. Also, you can watch on X, Instagram, and Facebook at Maggie Dawn Show and check us out and Dan's disco ball there. Let's jump right into it. Dan, what was the big takeaways from the, were I should say, the big takeaways from the governor's budget address last evening?
Yeah, so it was a busy day in state politics in Wisconsin yesterday. We had the spring primary, the spring election primary, and we can talk about some of those results. But I was also at the governor's budget address last night in Madison. Went to attend that one in person, which I had not done for this type of speech before. So it was fun to kind of be there to see the reactions from the Republicans and the Democrats in the legislature, standing up when Evers would say something on one side of the aisle and just sitting there and rolling their eyes on the other side as he goes through it. But, you know, I think we can talk about a couple different things with the speech, but I felt like on style, it was kind of a flat speech. It felt like Evers was rushing through it at points. You know, I don't think the style points are necessarily Evers' strength as a politician, as a speaker. But there were a number of very interesting proposals. You know, we saw a couple of them come out in the days prior to the budget address, an overhaul of the Department of Corrections. He had mentioned in the State of the State speech that wanting to put $300 million towards mental health in schools. And he talked about this budget in particular. Kind of the headline item from it is what he was characterizing as the most pro-kid budget in Wisconsin history. So a lot of investments in education, a lot on, talking about just kind of like safety and water quality was a big piece of this as well. And childcare was another one that, you know, that was one of the things that in the last budget, Republicans voted it out of the budget in a Joint Finance Committee hearing that happened at 2:30 in the morning. So will they be more willing to discuss these types of proposals this time? Remains to be seen.
It seems maybe next time they want to vote against our kids, they should do it in the middle of the day, in the bright light of day, so that we all know what exactly is going on. Sorry for interrupting, Dan.
Yeah. You know, this is the way the Republican-controlled state legislature likes to operate. They like to have those votes in the middle of the night so they
no one pay attention to what we're doing
next morning.
Here.
Yes, exactly.
Big announcements this week, especially in this area of prison reform. I did, and I'm not going to call it reform, rehabilitation. So many of our facilities are very old. There has been crises after crises. I believe one of the, I forget what they call them, the guys that run the prisons, was actually arrested this year for basically extreme negligence, as a number of people that were incarcerated at his facility, a state facility, died. I was a bit surprised by it. Typically, it's not a big political winner to suggest big spending, $500 million in the governor's case, for these sorts of improvements to your system of incarceration. What to your mind, Dan, has been the response thus far? It's certainly a critical issue, not just here in Wisconsin, but everywhere in the country. There are major overcrowding issues, major issues getting people the mental health treatment they need, suicides in these facilities. Dan, what's your take?
Yeah, there's been some real problems at Department of Corrections over the last few years. And I think it is, you know, it seems overdue, perhaps, in certain instances, for this overhaul being proposed. And as part of this, it proposes closing the Green Bay facility by 2029. And so I know that there was the the mayor of the village of Alloway, who was also a Republican who ran for assembly last fall. He was a proponent of this plan, and he's long been advocating for closing this very outdated prison in Green Bay. So I think that, you know, is one of the major items there. And like you said, it's not like an especially flashy political item to have as a headline for the budget, but it does seem like, you know, one of those things that in one way or another, Wisconsin is going to have to address.
This is not an if, it is a but when. Having been in most of our state prisons at some point in time, not as an inmate, everyone, please don't start joking, but as an attorney, giving counsel to people while I was working with the Wisconsin Innocence Project when I was in law school, some of these facilities are downright shocking. Green Bay was certainly one of the most shocking ones. It's just the facilities are so outdated. We have stretched capacities to their absolute maximum. Again, to me, this is a question of not if, but when. And frankly, would Republicans and taxpayers want to be more long-term savvy with the money? In other words, in my mind, don't be, you know, penny wise and pound foolish. These lawsuits and the liabilities that are accruing related to the deaths of individuals in custody are racking up. This is incredibly expensive. And it only, having, you know, again, litigated on behalf of Milwaukee County, it only takes a handful of these big ticket cases where you're in 6-7 figures a few times and you're at a $500 million. So again, my view, not an if, but a when, but not sexy, you know, Tony Evers style. Yeah, I was glad I had a sufficient amount of caffeine when I was watching yesterday evening. But Evers, as you said, Dan, never known for the delivery, known for just being a sort of an honest broker, regular guy. And it seemed the speech overall seemed pretty technical. It had a lot of policy detail in there that he was getting through. Very Evers-esque. In terms of reading the tea leaves here, Dan, on whether or not this portends a likely run again from Tony Evers, or maybe that he's hanging up the cleats, what's your prognosticating having heard the budget proposal yesterday?
Yeah, that's seems to be hanging over all of this, what Evers is going to do in 2026. And he has said in the past that he is not going to make this decision until after the budget process. So, you know, it does seem like there's some certain connections to what's happening there. But I think if you really step back and take a look at this as a big picture, it doesn't seem like the type of budget that would be, you know, his last as governor, and it's last, you know, in year seven of his time as governor. Maybe he would have, you know, if this were going to be his last one, maybe he really digs in and says, hey, I'm going to veto the budget if it doesn't include Medicaid expansion. I'm going to veto the budget if it doesn't include the funding for K-12 education or the UW schools that we're looking for. It didn't really seem to take that type of approach. And I think, you know, the Republican response to every budget that Evers has proposed in this era of divided government is just to chuck the whole thing immediately as soon as it gets to the Joint Finance Committee, and then kind of rebuild the entire budget around the Republican priorities. So there were a couple things that, you know, Republicans were saying, hey, that was our idea. You know, they kind of wanted credit for it. One of the things was eliminating taxes on tips. And that was, you know, of course, one of the things that President Trump talked about in his campaign last year as well. So, you know, that was part of it. You know, so, but I do think there's a lot here that is are pretty interesting proposals. There's another one on requiring audits of health insurers. And I think that was one of the ones that wasn't in the excerpts before. So I think that was kind of like the surprise there. He said, I want Wisconsin to become the first state in America to start auditing insurance companies over denying healthcare claims. I think that is a pretty interesting approach there. And again, it's not your sexy political topic. It is a little bit more in the weeds, but I think this is, you know, that's the approach that the Evers administration often takes on these types of things.
You mean the DOGE for health insurers? Man, that would be kind of interesting. The tax on tips, just very briefly before we go to break, and we're going to keep going with Dan Schaefer. It's the State Slate on Wednesday, special edition with Dan Schaefer. We're going to continue with Dan after these brief messages. But I just wanted to say this when it comes to taxing tips and the question of eliminating it. What a stupid half measure. First of all, restaurant workers don't get paid enough. How about we solve the minimum wage problem? Not sort of, I feel like it's like drippings to the poor while the kings feast. Like what? We need billionaire tax cuts, but we'll appease people by not taxing tips. How about we actually have a living minimum wage? If you're willing to work 40 to 50 hours a week, you will not go hungry and you will have a roof over your head. Maybe that, huh? I'm going to pat my hair back out. It might be lighting up a little bit on fire. We're going to come back with Dan Schaefer, creator of The Recombobulation and our political editor, right here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. I'm going to keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.